Yeah?
Yeah, I thought I had more. Is our height difference bothering you?
No! I don't like that there's such a big gap between my head and the top of
the... So the answer is yes. Would you like to switch chairs? This is so much lower. I think it'll equal us out.
If we switch chairs?
Yeah. Do you want to try it? Go on.
All right, let's try it. Let's try it. The listeners have to listen to this.
We have to picture it, though.
We're shuffling around in a tiny office. Tinier than you can imagine.
Okay, so we're both leaving and then entering back in.
Yeah.
I'm imagining us entering into applause.
Yes. Like we're the
See,
guests.
That's better.
On a sitcom.
Look at that!
There we go.
We're the same height.
Yeah.
I'm still a little taller, but we're the same height.
We're basically the same height.
That's good.
Pass me my drink. There we are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There we go. Now we can switch. Love you.
Love you.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. You have said some exciting things before we started recording.
What have I said?
You said that you have some things to yell about, so I'm imagining you're coming in hot to today.
Are you... Yeah.
Am I yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, am I mad? No. Am I mad? Yes.
Mmm.
Is...
Fascinating. Fascinating.
Yeah. Well, okay. What are we doing? What is this?
This Dorkspawn.
Dorkspawn
is a show we talk about choice games together. I haven't done this intro in ages.
It's been less than a week.
I don't do this intro anymore. You do the intro because you're the Mass Effect guy.
Yeah, hi.
What are we
my
doing
name is
here?
Dylan, and I've played one Mass Effect game.
My name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 billion times.
This is Dorkspawn.
Sure, we go through choice games and we do them like a book club. At the minute,
That's
we're doing
right.
Mass Effect 2 last time,
yeah.
Or rather now, over the last week, we have done.
Yeah.
The collectorship mission and Arrival. I have also done two loyalty missions. Did you manage to get any?
I did one.
Which one did you do?
Agarrus Vakarian.
Nice. We can't talk about any of them then because I did Morden, Solas, and Grunt.
Okay.
So I cleaned out Duchunka and then you did Garrus. So I'll do Garrus next week.
Okay.
And then
I'll
you
do
Morden and Grunt.
And Grunt. Yeah. Those are the two that I want to do anyway next.
Morden, I think, might be one of my favorite missions that we've done on the show.
That's crazy. That's actually crazy.
I liked it so much. I forgot so much. It's literally nothing even happens. It's about a guy grappling with shit.
Oh, and I love that.
Love it.
And Morden Solas, a guy who needs to grapple with some shit, tell you what.
And it's great. And it's very much like, I played the mission, and I was like, oh, this is why I play all these characters like this.
Yep.
A very deeply me character that I love so much. Yeah. So.
So we start... Well, the thing is that we got stuck because we didn't realize that it was going to be like you can't do anything else until you do this thing.
Yeah.
You start going to the map, like the star map on Normandy that you would go to travel. And anytime you try to look at anything, Joker's like, hey, go to comm room.
Yeah.
What if you went to the comm room instead of all the fun, cool stuff that you want to do? And I'm like, all right, fine. It's just like the council all over again. So we go to talk to the, elusive man who is obviously a piece of shit. And he tells us some cockamamie story about how there's a collector ship that is putting that is there's a ship that's putting out a distress signal. It's been turned over by Turians, and we have a chance to learn about the collectors, like more than we have ever had if we go there.
Mm.
We turn up to the ship. The ship itself is kind of cool. It's like,
oh, it's awesome.
Half alive or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it's a big hive.
It's like a meat ship, is what I wrote here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how beehives are made out of meat? Kind of a bee meat hive.
It's made of organic material, which is just like, it's not organic meat,
a lot of things are organic that aren't meat.
Are
though.
You sure? I think that organic things are all just meat.
Oh, wait. You are correct. Sorry.
Thank you.
Everything, there's everything inorganic organic, and meat.
And, yeah, exactly.
The ocean. There's,
it's plastic and meat.
Meat, yeah.
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 Those are the two categories of things.
And this is the platform you're running on. I'm going to change everything to either organic.
Yeah, you're going to fit into one of two categories, plastic or meat. Where do you want to be? So we're like looking around this place. It's empty. Like, there's, like, nobody around.
Except for corpses and bodies.
Except for so many bodies.
Yeah.
That's gonna... For the visual listeners, you're gonna see my face come back to this expression later. It's empty. Piles of dead human bodies, I should say.
Yes.
I got some bullshit renegade points for something here, and I don't remember what it was.
There is a lot of interesting... In the missions that we have played, there's a lot of interesting renegade things,
yeah.
Which you shouldn't...
I think I was like... I think I said something like, well, we can't save any of them now.
Yeah.
And I got renegade points, and I was like, I can't. They're dead.
Yeah.
It's not like,
because I mean, it's so I saw this thing because we've done a lot. I mean, I have done a lot of looking at the BioWare wheel.
Yeah.
And a thing which I found out that I actually didn't know, it's not necessarily a bad option. It's just hostile. That's what renegade is. It's just being hostile. So it's like that is the more hostile option of the two. And this is a thing that I find interesting. I said, I'm pretty sure I said in Mass Effect 1 that I actually don't like the Paragon Renegade system at all. I think it's crazy restrictive because it forces every decision to have a negative and a positive loop, which is on Dragon Age. It's really not a very Dragon Age thing because Dragon Age is like, no, you're just saying things and opinions are different. Whereas this is you're either being a good guy or a bad
guy. Well, I'm thinking about Red Hawk, who is... hostile and negative, but it doesn't speak to the morality of Hawk.
Yeah.
You can be a Red Hawk and still make, positive choices. It's just an attitude. It's but Renegade and Paragon do at least try to speak to the morality of your Shepherd.
Yeah.
At least as far as the game is concerned, it literally changes the color of your aura. It's definitely trying to say something about your morality. Anyway, I was like, oh, well, that was an interesting renegade. We get to a console eventually, and we find this data that we can send to Edie. That proves that the collectors are experimenting on humans to compare their DNA. And so we send that data to Edie. Edie gets back to us and Edie's like, hey, the collectors are related to the Protheans.
Are essentially Protheans.
Which I'm now working on a theory that the Protheans, that we're all descended from the Protheans. Is I think what we're building towards in end game something or other is that this is just a great descendant. because I feel like everything, every bit of tech we find, every bit of history, every relic, every ruin, every, and now it's like other races in the galaxy. Like, I just feel like that's what they're building towards.
So we did find out in one that not every relic is Prothean, that most Prothean relics are actually Reaper relics.
Oh, that's right. That's true. That's
and,
true.
And it's...
But then what if the Reapers are just really crazy Protheans?
Hey, who knows? Maybe so.
Yeah.
But yeah, finding out that the Collectors are not identically, not genetically identical, but Protheans who have had extensive genetic changes is a very big
plot point. That's a big reveal. I wrote here, eerily, no enemies anywhere in here. There are, we find another room later that's like full of these pods that we've seen somewhere else.
We saw on Horizon.
Horizon, yeah.
And it is also stated that this is the exact same ship that was on Horizon and the one that destroyed the Normandy the 2 years one. Ago. It says that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Then I found another console, and we contact the Normandy through that console. Stupid idea.
I think, also, just before that, these little pods, we go into this big area where it's very exposed, and there are, like, trillions, if not more, of these pods decorating the ship. And Thane, for me, because they brought Thane along, says... you could get every single human on Earth in these pods and you would still have
right,
some to spare.
Right, there's not... Right, I do remember that. There's not enough. Or there's more than enough for
every single human
alive.
That exists.
Yeah.
But yes, and then you go to the console and contact the Normandy.
Yeah, totally stupid idea. Which it felt like a stupid idea, but...
But you're uploading it to Edie. You're not necessarily speaking... To the Normandy.
We're talking to Edie. But that's exactly what goes wrong. Is connecting... I think it is connecting to Edie specifically. Like... opens... like a connection to our data. To the Collectors and the Harbinger.
Yeah.
So, like, they can pinpoint... And locate us. And then, like, everything fucking goes
It's a big trap. There's a fun bit when you're... Just before it's, like, big notice that it's a trap, Edie says...
Oh, yes.
It was not possible that the elusive man...
Didn't know.
Thought that this distress signal was genuine.
No. The distress call came from the Collectors, and this fucking bastard knew it the entire time.
And I think it's fun that Edie is the one to say, there's no way that the elusive man didn't know this.
Interesting, because I didn't like Edie.
And now she's winning you over, and because she's like, hey, by the way,
I'm telling me the truth, even when it's maybe against program.
Yeah, and it's cool. She's a cool lady.
We'll see.
Yeah! You got big fights. Pew pew, you do a lot of pew pews. It's a lot of really fun.
Shut the fuck up, little fights. This. Fuck off. This was the stupidest. This was horrendous.
Oh.
These were the worst fights in any game, I think, ever.
This is crazy. Talk about it. What do you mean?
There are like a floppity jillion Collectors. There's. This shockwave thing. There's these, like, exploding guys.
Sure, yeah.
There's, like, it's an awful fight. It's an awful fight. And it doesn't end. It's, like, wave after wave. And it's just, like, room
after room. Because we're in the ship.
And then there's, like, it's just, like, you think that the... Oh, that must have been the biggest one. Because that was the you got those big guys that, what are they called again?
The Scions.
The Scions. Fuck those guys.
And then you have the one giant spider-like thing.
Yeah.
The metal spider thing that is, like, invulnerable when it slams on the ground and keeps doing these shockwaves and you need to wait for it and then keep firing at it.
Hate.
That guy got me a couple times. I died quite a few times in this.
So then stop. Stop acting like I'm crazy here.
I sound like you're crazy. I don't think they're bad fights. I just died a lot in them.
Anyway, glad I hoard Medi-Gel like crazy. That was stupid. We finally get through. We go back to the ship. I tell the elusive man, fuck you. I don't trust you, and I was right not to trust you.
Yeah.
He... God. Like, what a smarmy piece of shit asshole. He's like, I knew you would survive, first of all. I'm like, okay. You still lied to me. Yeah. And like, whatever. And then he tries to tell me that every human would be dead if we didn't go in there. And I'm like, I don't know how you figure that. And he says that, he says something about Edie, like, that, like, I know, like, Edie is secure and that, like, no one can get past her or whatever. And I was like, I don't like that. I don't like what you say about her.
But he's not wrong about the, now, look at their face. Not wrong about the fact that every human will be dead, because through you going onto the ship,
you find
that there is a derelict Reaper being held in a brown dwarf in the gravity. It's being trapped there. You only found that through the collector ship.
Yeah.
And also through, like, some navigation, some other stuff that Cerberus has been doing. However, you also find the collector homeworld, which is where the Omega 4 relay goes to.
Right.
It's in the center of the galaxy. It's amongst a million different black holes. It needs a pinpoint perfect landing to get in, and then no one knows what's on the other side, but you know it's the collector homeworld, and that's where you have to go and fight back. So, if you didn't go on the ship, you wouldn't get any of this information.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, and then he's like, you have to go find this IFF, this derelict Reaper.
Which is, yes. And he is like, you're going to pick it up from this scientist. But of course we lost contact with that scientist. so you'll get them eventually. So I guess that's his next task for us.
Then I went to Tuchanka. I did two exceedingly good missions. More than Solus.
You did that.
More than Grunt.
Yep.
And then you did Garrus.
I did Garrus. Do you remember Garrus's?
I don't remember it perfectly, but you can talk about it.
Well, first of all, did I... Oh, no. Why did you close? No, don't do that.
Oh my god.
Don't do that. I lost my space.
You lost your threads. Yeah. So, I haven't done Garrus, but you're welcome to run through it. And then we can just briefly talk about it more when I do it, because I'll probably do it next week.
Right, so Garrus has talked to us a lot about Sidonis, who betrayed his team and betrayed Garrus and got a bunch of his squad killed. So we've known that basically the thing is that we're gonna have to find Sidonis or whatever. We first get directed. Garrus is like, this guy Fade hides people, like, is known to, like, get people disappeared who need to get disappeared because they've, like, done crimes or whatever. And Fade is hiding Sidonis. We go and, like, get information from Fade to lead us to, which is funny, we go to this guy Bailey first, and we're like, hey Bailey, we're looking for Fade. And he's like, oh, I hate that guy, I know exactly where he is. And I was like, yeah, no fucking problem. Cool shit. We go, Fade, Garrus asks Fade to help us reappear someone. And Fade is like, fuck you, I'm not going to do that, and starts to attack us. And I'm like, hey, shut up. And that works. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he admits that he's not the real Fade. He's just one of Fade's agents. We get attacked out of the blue by a bunch of Blue Suns. These fights are pretty easy. And then I wrote, two mechs, kill yourself.
Fuck, I need that on a t-shirt. I need the front of it. This fight's pretty easy. And on the back, two mechs, kill yourself. Fuck. That's pretty dangerous. That might hit my lexicon.
Yeah.
Tonight. I might be using.
Anytime anything's good, we're like, oh, this night's pretty great. Easy. Two mechs,
kill yourself.
Oh god,
funny.
So we fight through this. We find Sidonis. We find Harkin, who is working with Sidonis. First won't cooperate, and then Garrus is hot. Garrus shoots him right in the legs just to keep him from running away. Stops him dead in his tracks, and agrees to like set us up a meeting with Sidonis. We go to this like clandestine meeting with Garrus. Garrus is like up on a balcony. I'm meeting the guy, and Garrus is gonna like snipe him out of the air. And I did convince Garrus not to kill him, because I was like, this is gonna be. This is, you're still going to get closure from this, but you're not going to if you just kill him.
Yeah.
We end the mission, and then I get the first ever opportunity to flirt with Garrus. I flirt my ass off to this man, and it's like, do you know that, scene from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that's like, because you're smart and you're pretty and you're ignoring me.
Yeah,
perfect. Yeah. And she's like, what did you say? Perfect. That's the flirting with Garrus energy that's happening. It's pathetic. I'm like,
you're like fawning over him and he's like being Batman.
He says something about how like he like after all of this he really needs to let off steam, and I'm like, we could do that together. And he's like, what? And I was like, never mind.
No, it's not because Garrus is too cool. It's because he's like, he's just so like, oh my god, I can't believe they say they liked me. He's just such a fucking dork.
Oh yeah, that's what Garrus Vakarian is like.
Yeah.
That man just shot a man in the legs like it was nothing.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to love a woman.
Don't you ever, you take that back. You take that back. I know he does. I know.
No, stop it, please. No. I know he does, though. Garrus loves women.
Garrus loves women.
It's good.
Oh, good podcast. Two mechs,
kill yourself. I don't know how coherent this episode is. It's definitely going to be one of my most referenced episodes.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. And also, I'm not. All right, so do we want to talk about the others, or are we going to go straight into Arrival?
Let's go straight into Arrival, babe. Because the others is me ruining it for you,
the point of this is. We did that with Dragon Ages. I wouldn't talk about it until you had done it. Yes. Yeah, yeah, okay.
So.
Yes.
I want to get a rundown now, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Arrival?
So, sometimes there's a DLC, and you're like, this is a DLC.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a DLC.
It is a DLC.
This is a DLC.
The DLC's DLC.
This is the... It's okay. I will say it is fun. There's definitely some interesting lore and like and stuff, but it does feel DLC. I there were parts that I was like, was this done cooking?
Sure.
Just a little bit. Sure. And it's hard to get into without talking about like what it is.
I like it.
I did like it. I don't want to.
I think that it would have been. There is a point in, you know what? Let's talk about it, because there is a moment in which I will then finish my sentence and my thought. And it's the moment of this DLC. There is a choice which you simply don't make. It makes for you.
Oh, yes.
We'll talk about it more when we get to that. Because the problem is, that is something that if I was playing The Witcher and Geralt made, I'd be like, yes, because you are a character and I'm riding your, like, feelings. If Arthur Morgan made it, I'd be like, yep, because you are a character and I'm kind of here. But since this is our Shep, I'm like, ooh.
Well, and also because this is, all right, so like, we just have to get into it. Because there's so much I want to say about that. And I can't even speak to it until we talk about
what it is. Admiral Hackett reaches out to you.
Yes.
And is like, hey, a scientist friend of mine has been captured by Batarians in Batarian space.
Dr. Kenson.
You have to go solve it. It has to be just you. Because anyone else is going to trip their, like, oh, we're being attacked. But you can do a stealth mission on your own.
Right.
You're wandering through. You land on this planet. You're wandering through these, like, prison sewers.
Yeah. Cool.
Pretty cool. It feels cool. Good.
Atmospherically, I think that this DLC was really cool. Like, hearing the comms, like, which, I mean, that starts pretty... We're pretty early on, but like hearing the like prison guards
talking about humans,
which they're talking about torturing humans the way that like we talk about our bosses at the water cooler. Like they're just like, there's like one guy complaining about it and is just like, I've got all these humans to torture. And it's like, is there no one else that can cover for me? Like, I've been working three weeks
straight. There's 300,000 people here. How is no one covering
like,
me?
Like, people are just, like, people are bitching and moaning about their work in a funny way. Really cool.
I also, there's bits where you're walking past Batarians, talk about humans and about how, like, scary they are.
Oh,
like,
yes. Something about, like, oh, there's more humans, like, being active in like, the outer reaches or something like that. Like, what are they up to?
Yeah, and, like, talking about how they're vermin and they're now, like, everywhere. It's like, you just can't control where
the
humans
fear
are.
Fear of humans. That's something I totally did clock. It was, like...
And it's cool. I like... That feels interesting in like, this is kind of how... Because this game is all about how humans see aliens. I liked this being how aliens see humans, of like, oh, they're fucking scary. They are jumping all around. They're super, super like colonialist. They're always looking to discover new planets, and they settle and then they overtake the planet immediately. They have so much war and army and all of this. There's also in the last mission. This is interesting because this also comes up in Morden Solus's DLC. A loyalty mission, is how adaptable humans are. Because it's like, the reason why the collectors are like looking for human DNA is because of how closely related to it. Because human DNA is just so adaptable to so many different places. And I just like hearing that kind of... Humans are scary because like physiologically, we adapt really quick.
Yeah, I think
that's interesting.
Deeply interesting,
I really like it.
I liked that.
We go through these sewers.
Yeah.
Fight a bunch of Batarians. We then find Dr. Kenson.
Mm-hmm.
We break her out.
Yeah. We, like... Is it her that we hear, like, Or we just hear random humans being tortured.
It's her.
It is her.
It is her.
We like,
but the doors are like locked and we have to go around the long way.
Right. I wasn't sure if it was just like her or if it was random humans being tortured or whatever.
We find her. We break her out. We then have a big breakout sequence where she's like hacking doors and we have to like protect her. And we're like doing a bunch of fighting. And then we get to a shuttle, open the shuttle, and then we leave. We leave to her base, project base is what it's called.
Yeah. Yes.
Speak on it.
This is where... So she tells us about the project. The project idea is that we have to throw an asteroid at a mass relay.
Yeah.
To destroy it.
Because
the Reapers are coming in
2 days.
2 days.
2 days.
We don't actually learn that the first time she tells us. She just tells us that the Reapers are coming through this mass relay.
We're going to destroy
the mass relay, and we're going to do it by throwing an asteroid into it. The thing about that is that she's like, we don't know what happens when a mass relay is destroyed, because no one's ever attempted to destroy a mass relay before, and no one knows what the consequences of doing that are. So I, as Shepard, am like, so if we're going to risk this, like things that could happen, I mean, it could become a supernova, it could become a black hole, it could, all the mass relays anywhere could turn off. Like this could be devastating in ways I could not even tell you. So I'm going to need you to tell me proof that this is actually happening. Show me that this is happening before I throw an asteroid at a mass relay to kill it. So finally she's like, okay, I'll show you proof. Fine.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes -2. That's a 0.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck!
Deeply weird woman. So she brings me now to her lab. She like calls her lab guy. She's like, I'm coming home. He's like, yay. And then weird, she's like, and I got Shepard with me. And he's like, oh,
okay.
He's like, oh, yeah. Interesting. So we get back there and she's got a big countdown clock on the
love
wall.
A countdown clock. Love, we just watched Pacific Rim recently.
Yeah, we did.
Love a giant countdown clock.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Love the countdown clock. And the countdown clock reads 2 days, and she explains that that is how long we have until the Reapers come through the mass relay. Mm. So She continues to go on about how this has to happen and has to happen now. And then I'm like, okay. And then she's like, here, let me show you something. So she does a lot of work convincing me. And then she's like, here's your proof. Let me show you the proof that you want to see. Mm. And I thought I was going to get one of those, like, flashbacks again. Like, not flashbacks, like visions, premonitions or whatever. It's like it struck with the magic lightning. But it just zaps me. And Shepard goes down for a second.
We do see something. Also, did we say this? She shows us a Reaper artifact. She shows us a Reaper.
Oh, right. The Reaper artifact.
So it's a whole base of people. And she walks us. She's like, okay, this is how I know. It's called Project Omi?
I didn't write that down.
this doesn't fucking matter. Whatever. We walk in. It's this giant Reaper statue, basically.
Yeah.
Looks like all these tentacles coming out of water. It looks very cool.
Yeah.
You get hit with it. You see Reapers coming through the Mass Effect relay, and you're like, oh, okay. She was telling the truth, I guess.
Yeah.
And then
she's like, you can't do it. You can't do the program.
I'm actually evil and indoctrinated.
You can't do the program. You can't stop the Reapers from coming. I was like, you know, to be honest, I wasn't gonna, up until 10 minutes ago when you told me that I had to do it.
Yeah.
Convinced me pretty hard. I was just gonna leave. Like, I was...
You didn't need to bring me here.
I was out of here. Like, this was... You told... I didn't even know about the mass relay. I didn't know about the asteroid solution till 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You told me about it.
Yeah.
Deeply confusing woman.
Really
I
weird.
Feel like...
This is the worst bit of the DLC. This makes no fucking sense.
It makes
sense.
No sense.
Because her flip... And then everyone in the facility also flips.
Well, because a lot of her staff are against her in a weird way.
Well, I think...
Well, a lot of them fight us, but we do see... we hear from a lot of her staff in their notes that they're getting, like... Because this is another thing that as we... So then she turns on us. We're like, well, fuck you.
It turns out she's indoctrinated. And
she's indoctrinated. She thinks that that we just need to hear the Reapers out.
Yeah.
Deeply unwell woman. But we...
Which is a cool show of indoctrination if there was any other buildup to it aside from it being like all of a sudden she's like, actually.
Yeah. But then we do, like, we hear her logs, like, previous logs from before we show up, and we do hear a little bit of, like, this, like, kind of, like, change over time through that, which is kind of cool. And then through that, we hear her team questioning her in their logs and being, like, and saying she... So, like, not the people who... Obviously, the people who are still around are fighting us on her behalf, but presumably there were people along the road that were...
Yeah.
That were questioning her. And then we evade her until we don't.
yeah.
And there is a fun bit where Shepard gets attacked by her people, and we die.
Kind of cool.
We don't actually die. We wake up in like her lab,
testing lab/prison.
And we wake up and they're like, oh, the sedative doesn't work on her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, haha, yeah, I'm special. and then they run and they're like, they call security and all that shit. And you're just like, fuck you.
And then you like hack into a mech and then the mech, you're walking around as the mech shooting people, which I thought was cool. You break yourself out.
Yep, you break yourself out. She's like, through this like portion where you're now trying to find the, what is it called? The project has a name. It's like project, the.
It's project, it begins with A or something.
The project or something like that. We're trying to find the trigger for it to set it off. She's like, speaking to you and speaking to her crew over the like comm system so we can hear everything she's saying to her team. Like, she's announcing our position.
I liked this bit a lot. I haven't found the name of it. I like this, though. You're running through executing people, and you're hearing over comms her yeah. being like, go fight them. And then you're hearing people being like, we can't fight her. Yeah. She's too good.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. people are like opening the door, and there's like five of them. And I don't know how you're doing it, but I'm like, as I do every time, I'm teleporting
you're
in.
Teleporting.
And then like,
yeah.
And then the next comm is like, I ain't fucking dealing with her. It's crazy. Yeah. I'm actually out. She's yeah. too strong.
Yeah.
I thought that's so satisfying. It felt really cool.
That's really cool. And I feel like I didn't do good notes for this part because
well,
I was
she,
playing
she,
this at work.
She
but...
then goes into she goes into the core reactor.
Yes. Because,
oh
yes.
No, she doesn't. You get to the project.
Yes. Yes. And yes. You... Yes.
This is the bit which I think is interesting.
This is again. Well interesting and kind of sucks because. Okay, because there's a lot. All right, this is where I want to start talking about this because, particularly, I want to talk about Ani. Ani, because okay, the project, the actual end to this doomsday clock, the thing that's going to close the mass relay, and hopefully prevent or delay the Reapers from coming through. Right. To actually do this. Throwing the asteroid at the mass relay will kill like an entire
over 300,000
Batarians.
Yeah.
Ani, her whole backstory is that Batarians killed yeah. everyone that she knew and left only her alive.
Yeah.
She's also on this journey found at least two other people to whom the same thing happened. Bad backstory with this, like deeply connected to the Batarians. So yeah. there is potential in a moral like tug of war between do we throw the asteroid or don't we?
Yeah.
But we just kind of do it. Like, we get into this control room.
This is an interesting thing because this is what I mean when I'm like, if it was Geralt, if it was Arthur Morgan, mm-hmm. one of these characters where it's like, you're just playing a proxy of them. They are their own person. They're their own character. Then that would be fine. Them making this like big decision for us in this act of desperation. They don't have time to think about it. But Shepard doesn't ever do that.
Yeah.
Every decision with Shepard is we make the final call.
Yeah.
And this was one where it's, we don't get the choice. She kills 300,000 people to stop the Reapers coming through. We don't really have strong proof that it's actually going to happen, that the Reapers are going to go through this.
We genuinely
relay.
Don't. Yeah.
It is, we have to work under the assumption, which we do because this is brought up later, they would have come through the relay.
Mm-hmm.
They would have come through the relay in 2 days. It's when prepared. See, the thing is, like, I, as Shiv, I was going to make the decision that Shiv is going to do it because Ruthless is her backstory and like, whatever it needs to get the job done.
Yeah.
But Shepard just makes this decision, and then you have a very soft two-option, what do you do?
Well,
you can either...
I don't think it's that soft. I mean, that the option is that you can warn the Batarians and tell them basically, give them a chance to evacuate.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I know it's short notice, but I am going to throw an asteroid at your...
This is so important and integral. When you pass out and wake up, there is no longer 2 days. It is 1 hour,
oh,
30 minutes.
Right. Right. Oh,
which
we
is,
skipped over that.
That
yeah,
is
yeah, yeah.
so important.
Obviously. Yeah.
Which, and what is interesting about this DLC, it is literally 1 hour, 30 minutes long. If you wait out the timer, which you can do, the Reapers come through and you get a game over.
And you get it. That's cool.
Which
that's
is pretty cool.
Cool.
We like that. That's interesting.
Oh, I do like that.
However, it is so important because otherwise, why don't you just wait 2 days, get everyone off the thing? And it's like, no, it's because you don't have the chance to, you know, you don't have the chance to think about it.
Right.
Shepard has to do or die right now.
Yeah.
And she does. We don't have a choice in it. She does just do.
She just, yeah.
And flings an asteroid into a thing. I decided to call the Batarians.
I sat on this one for a minute. I genuinely was thinking about letting Ani be and I think, and this is like, this might seem like a cop-out in terms of like decision-making in games, but I do feel sometimes like that pause on the decision-making is in itself like a character choice. Yeah. Like, I think that Ani thought about genuinely not warning them.
Mm-hmm.
And just barely made the choice to.
Yeah. You go to warn them. The warning is immediately cut off because she intercepts and is like, by the way, I'm going to blow the reactor core. And you're like, okay. And then you do decide, you're like, okay. Then you just stop the warning call, which I think is weird because you're like, this is Commander Shepard. I'm warning you that, and then she interrupts and then you just stop. And it's like, oh, I'd finish that. It takes like 30 extra seconds to warn them. Like, oh, by the way.
Oh, your whole planet's going to blow up.
Yeah, everything is going to fucking go. You go, there's interesting things where there is a decision about killing 300,000 Batarians where you only get like 3 renegade for it, which I thought was so weird because there are other choices where you get higher renegade. Yeah. And this is about wiping out.
I got 2 renegade for saying, hey, those dead people, we can't help them anymore. Yeah. 2. One more. Genocide.
Which is fine. You can walk around the town center and say hi to a bunch of people. And it's like, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry
about
it.
Genocide? 1 point higher than disrespecting the dead.
And you're not even disrespecting the dead. No. You're saying, they are dead people.
Those are dead people.
Those are dead people. By the way, gang, they're dead.
Hey, gang.
She's going to blow the reactor. You go down. You have to manually cool it. Cool the reactor.
Yeah.
You then go to confront her in a scene which I thought was very fun.
Oh, yeah.
She starts doing her whole Venom monologue and you get like a renegade option. I just shot her.
Yeah.
I thought it was very fun.
Absolutely done with you. Yeah. You know, I barely made the decision to make that distress call to the Batarians and you took that away from me. You get shot immediately.
Yeah. You're outside.
Yeah.
You've called the Normandy. You're outside. You then find Harbinger contacts you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you're a pain in my fucking ass, huh? Everywhere I turn, you are there fucking with my plans. And you're like, yep, that's humans, baby.
And that'll keep happening.
Yeah. You do a big, that's what human do, motherfucker. I'll catch you next time.
Yeah, when you cock both my guns in my American hands. Shepherd's American.
Yeah, you cock your American hands and say, tough shit, collector. These colors don't run, they reload.
They reload. That's right.
That's right, baby.
That's right.
Collector leaves. Joker has a cool bit.
Oh, yeah.
Joker slows down next to you. You full sprint, jump off the side. He catches you and then does like a pinpoint, hits the Mass Effect relay as the asteroid goes into it. Best pilot in the galaxy.
Oh, best pilot in the galaxy. Still need about 10% more Joker scenes in everything.
Yeah. I get it.
Oh, he's so good.
He's really, really great. And then... The Mass Effect relay blows.
Yep.
Kills the whole
Batarians,
system.
No matter what.
Yeah. The whole system. They all fucking die.
Yeah.
There is physically no way that even with your warning, anyone was going to get it. It's an hour and a half.
I guess you're
no
right.
No one's getting to the Mass Effect relay. Joker barely got there. And he was mid FTL flight to you. And he just made
it. Right. I guess you're right.
But That doesn't, it's still like, it's, you know.
Yeah. Why give me the choice to warn them? You know?
Because it, does, it, like, shows who Shepard is. Does Shepard warn, does Shepard try to save their own skin? Which I don't think is a good choice. I want to make that clear.
I know.
I really think that this should have been a, if you, this should have been like a, do you do it or not?
Yeah, because I just will say that, like, that is really the only reason that this game, this felt like a DLC to me. It felt like everything was so inconsequential that I did that it, this, I could feel that it lifts out like a puzzle piece. Like, it's just like this, if this was not here, nothing about the game really changes and nothing about the experience really changes much.
So, what's interesting, this is how, this is why Mass Effect is an interesting franchise.
Yeah.
This does matter in Mass Effect 3 if you don't do it.
Curious. Because
Hackett brings it up of he had to send in a unit to send an asteroid into a Mass Effect relay to stop the Reapers coming, and then you, because there's a whole thing in 3 about war support, and you get way less because a bunch of people are dead because other people had to blow up a Mass Effect relay. Which is interesting.
Okay, that is pretty interesting.
Which is a weird one, and it's one of these things which only come back later. I still think the most interesting thing to me is the question of... Okay.
Talk about it.
This DLC.
Yeah.
The story of the DLC. Puts, it says explicitly, it rather, it like, it doesn't even say explicitly, it kind of explicitly has the canon that the Reapers are going to come through the relay. But everything we experience, bar the vision, set, which the vision is hazy at best, our vision in Mass Effect 1 still hasn't happened yet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But the, everything in it is still so questionable of if the Reapers are actually going to come through the relay or if she's just indoctrinated and they want to use the relay later. Because she's indoctrinated, she's gone mad, as has the whole base. And I think what a more interesting question is, do you do it on the off chance the Reapers are going to come through there? Or do you wait and you're like, I'm not going to fucking kill 300,000 people, we'll figure it out. I think that's a more interesting question. But then...
Because if her evidence is just... visions from this thing is
visions
what
from an indoctrinated woman. It's like, I don't, you can't trust those visions because she's indoctrinated. Saren was indoctrinated and he was speaking gibberish at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Saren. Miss him.
You know what's so fun?
I miss
so
him.
We were talking about this off air with Aditya.
Yesterday, yeah.
biggest fan, big guest last episode.
Big guest of last big episode.
Where he questioned you and said, do you like the elusive man? And you said, he's no Saren.
He's no Saren.
Claiming that you think that Saren is a great villain in comparison to...
Oh, yeah. Saren was an excellent villain. And
I think he's really good.
Excellent villain.
I think he's really good. I love the elusive man.
Oh, fuck that prick. He's just... You know, the elusive man is just a prick. He's just a prick bastard who's obviously lying to me and is obviously like being a piece of
shit. But
then
there's a thing where the elusive man is right every time.
He's right about some things, but he is objectively wrong in his execution of just about everything. If I, Shepard, am as special as the elusive man believes or claims to believe, and if I'm as integral to this, and he's not a piece of shit, then he could let me in on these plans. Let me have
some
fucking...
But then there are things where he's like, I didn't tell you because they can get into your head and they you would have let slip that, you know, that you know and it wouldn't have worked. Like, that's a thing
they
that he's...
can't get into my head. I'm the fucking best. I'm the fucking best. I'm an American. they can't get into my head. They can't fucking...
My blood runs red, white, and blue, baby.
And on the Normandy, we don't call 911.
Sure. Shepard is an American.
Shepard is an American whose mind cannot be touched. It's a fortress.
can't take her rights away.
You can't.
And the elusive man keeps trying.
Yeah. And
what is he, British?
Exactly. Colonizer attitude. Charlie's Angel, motherfucker.
Stupid.
He thinks he can't trust me with this information. But it's not because I'm incapable. It's because he's hiding bullshit. And that's all it is. That's all I'm going to hear on The Elusive Man. If The Elusive Man gets interesting in the third act, I will swallow this whole thing. Absolutely.
He's interesting now, though. Do you not find him interesting now?
I find him to be a very, very basic bad guy who, for some reason, is on my ship. like, and I'm supposed to act like he's morally gray, but I'm sorry.
He's a villain.
It's turpentine.
Saren is more morally gray than.
Yeah,
than,
Saren is than, brilliant.
Than the Elusive Man.
Absolutely.
But I think the Elusive Man still has, like, he's still interesting. He has a lot to him. Like, his, like, crazy knowledge of information and the fact that he's getting information by fucking you over, but then whenever you're like, yeah, why don't you tell me, he's like, I knew you would live, you're Shepard, like, he brought you back perfect just as you how you are so he can put you into these situations because he believes in you so much.
That's crazy
but
you know,
that's the fucking text though. That's he said, like, that's what he's showing that he does.
Oh no, I know that's the
oh
text.
But it's a crazy thing to do.
It's crazy. He's an insane villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just an insane villain who lives on my fucking ship. And that I'm supposed to be like, oh, well, that's the Elusive Man.
Do you know what's cool, though?
What?
What's fun and what I really like about this bit?
What?
You can start getting ambient dialogue is now shifting against the Elusive Man to you.
Yeah.
As, like, against Cerberus. Like, Edie is like, yeah, the Elusive Man knew that.
Edie told,
and because she said it first, an AI that the Elusive Man put onto the ship,
yeah,
and we talked about how your first dialogue with her, she keeps being like, "I can't tell you that it's restricted," and now she's like, "Do you know the Elusive Man's trying to kill you?" Like, that is such a weird, "Oh shit, why are you telling me this?"
Right,
and now the attitude of the ship, you have your whole crew, pretty much all of them are against Cerberus,
yeah.
And people are now shifting toward Shepard, not Cerberus, which is, we love. Mainly because of the collectorship thing.
Yeah.
People are starting to turn against him. It's an interesting game.
Oh, it's a very interesting game. This is a great game. I do think that Saren was a more interesting villain than the Elusive Man.
I understand. Sure. Yeah.
But I do like the Elusive Man as a character. Yeah. I don't want to say I don't like him at all.
But you just prefer Saren.
I just think Saren was just juicy. He was just so juicy. I felt for him.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. This time around, I did really love Saren. I did appreciate everything that Saren was. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think that Martin Sheen does just an outstanding performance as this, like, smarmy.
Oh, he does.
Like, intelligence broker.
Yeah. Really cool. Yeah, he's cool.
Oh, anything else to add?
I just, you know, it was a good DLC. It was a good DLC.
But it is a DLC.
But it is very much a DLC. I could feel the way that I could feel the perforations around the border that it isn't necessary. Which on its face feels crazy because the implication that the Reapers are coming in 2 days should be a main plot point. That should be a
main...
That's
what's interesting about it,
like,
yeah.
That's so massive.
And the fact that Shepard has to destroy them because she has other things to worry about right now. She's like, she's trying to deal with the collectors, doesn't have time to deal with a Reaper invasion, is so underprepared. Fuck it, throw the asteroid into the Mass Effect relay. Kill 300,000 people? I have other things to think about right now. Because, out of everyone in the galaxy... It is Shepard that has to deal with it. And I think that that's cool because...
That's interesting.
I actually think that... You know what? I'm swinging myself around on this. The 300,000 dead is... In this moment when she makes that call, you can feel the weight of the galaxy on her shoulders.
Yeah. And, like, the fact that she's alone.
She's alone.
She's got no squad.
None of her team are there. No one can say, hey, maybe don't do this. When you get back on the ship, you have a conversation with Admiral Hackett, and he's like, you're going to have to go to trial for this. Like, you're going to have to stand on Earth and go to jail, like, probably. You're going to be court-martialed because you killed 300,000 people. But everyone would have done this. Or rather, no, I would have done the same. No one is as strong as you. Like, no one could have done it. But you knew that it simply had to be done for the future of everyone in the world. And that's what's crazy about Shepard. You know, it's not a small story. It is a story of someone who is the only one possible to rally people into saving the galaxy. And it's a sad tale.
Yeah, no, it's awful.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Why? No, talk about it.
Oh, no. I just don't know that I get why. Like the choice just didn't seem like it was.
I still think the choice is.
There should have been some choice there. It was like, yeah, you're going to get court-martialed for this, but like, I didn't have a hand in that decision, so I didn't feel like that was a...
Yeah, I deserve this.
Right. Yeah. Like, if I had made that decision, and then it was like, you're going to get court-martialed for this, or if I didn't make the decision, and, like, a bunch of people, you know, died in a Reaper attack or whatever, like, or something happened. Like, then I could feel Shepard having, like, some guilt, but this was just, like... Hey, in this chapter, Shepard kills 300,000 people.
And you are right. And I do think that. I think I was like, I was attempting to give it some, like, why
would
they do this?
There's definitely some juice here. And like I said, I didn't not like the DLC.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, like, come across like I didn't. I had a good time with it. And I think it's a good story. It's just very DLC. That's really all.
No, you're right.
It is very perforated from the rest of the story.
There is a thing where Admiral Hackett's comments on you and how he feels about you does shift depending on how you react to him saying that 300,000 people died. If you say, like, the renegade option is like, oh, well, it had to be done, he views you more negative than you being like, I am really sorry. I wish it didn't have to be this way.
Yeah.
Then he, like, which is, again, it's the most minor thing.
But it's still something. I like that. I'll take it.
However, speaking about DLCs and their levels of cooked, next week we have Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Yeah, and I'm excited by this just based on how excited you are, gang.
And everyone, everyone who's like, oh my god, the Lair of the Shadow Broker.
I know, I'm excited by Osmosis. I can tell you this, I have looked up nothing. I know nothing.
I can't remember like an obnoxious amount of it, but I remember it being, it's just an action movie.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's cool. No, I'm really excited for it. We have 3 episodes left, which is crazy. We have Lair of the Shadow Broker, the Reaper IFF mission, and then we have the finale.
That's crazy.
Yeah. How are you feeling about Mass Effect 2?
I love it. This is one of the best games. This is one of the best not Dragon Age games I've ever played.
Love that. Huge.
And I don't mean that to say that in a way that seems like
negative
in any way. I mean that I play Dragon Age. I play the Dragon Age series like about once a year.
Yeah.
Because of how much I love it. I've loved very few things nearing that level in the world of video games ever. I think this is excellent.
How are we feeling about it in conversation with Mass Effect 1?
Oh, that's... I wanted to bring this up. I think it's making me appreciate Mass Effect 1 a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit more. I already did like Mass Effect 1. But Mass Effect 1, I was thinking about this when I was playing yesterday. Mass Effect 1 won me for real, real in those end couple of stuff. Like, the beginning felt very familiar and very homey. It felt like I could feel the Dragon Age in it, and it felt like a cozy, like, new place to be. But the story did move a little slow in the beginning, and it was kind of like a little bit of a trudge to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are just, like, so many things that we keep encountering that are building on stuff that we've done in Mass Effect 1. Mm. Like, also, wait, wasn't there a thing about, like, throwing an asteroid at a planet in Mass Effect 1?
Yes, in the DLC, it's another Batarian thing. The Batarians are going to throw an asteroid into a planet.
Right. Yeah. And there's, another thing that... Oh, there was another thing I was thinking about yesterday that came up that I know had like some kind of callback to Mass Effect 1, and I can't remember what it was. Mm. And I don't think I wrote it down.
Damn.
But all that to say, I don't think it really matters what it was specifically. I just think it doesn't feel like I'm playing a completely new game in the same series. It feels like I'm playing the same game, just it keeps getting better.
Yeah, like a continuation of a... Yeah.
Right. And so I do feel like it is making me appreciate those bits of Mass Effect 1, because it's just like I'm just playing this game that...
Yeah.
I'm just continuing to play this game that it took a decade to make.
Yeah.
You know, and like coming out in bits and pieces.
The thing which I think is really interesting is like, so in Dragon Age 2, one of my favorite moments is when I stepped out of the prologue and then the guy is talking about the brother Genitivi sold him some ashes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a choice I made from Origins. That makes the world feel so crazy.
Yeah.
And in Mass Effect 2, when they do that, it's like, that was me.
I did that. Shepard did that.
Yeah. And then they're talking to Shepard like, do you remember when you did this? And it's like, do I fucking remember when I did this? I guess so. And it's like, it's just, that's a fun, different way to hit those kind of same beats.
It's really, it's good. Yeah. I really do like it.
Yeah, I think it's great. Well, have we got any closing notes?
Just one.
Mm.
When do you want to record again?
Oh, can I wait for a minute? I'm in the middle of some calibrations. Good. Has Gara said that to you yet?
Yes.
Good. You do get the reference then.
Oh, yeah. Important. Oh, I meant to say. I
didn't know if you understood it. I'm glad that you do. Anyway, get out of here.